Appendix. Scripture Reading Charts. We help fulfill the objective of seminaries and institutes of religion as we encourage students to 1. Read and study the Scriptures daily, and 2. Read the Scriptures for the course of study. Charts for tracking Scripture reading for the entire New Testament can be found with the New Testament Scripture Mastery Cards on LDS.org and on store.lds.org, item number 10480. You may want to give reading charts to students to help them keep track of their progress. If you would like to report students' daily reading of the Scriptures, follow the directions in the Scripture Reading Reporting Instructions. Search for these instructions on si.lds.org using the phrase Scripture Reading Reporting Instructions. Suggestions for flexible days. The pacing guide for daily teachers is based on a 36-week or 180-day school year. This manual provides 160 daily lessons, leaving 20 days for which no teaching material is provided. These 20 flexible days should be used wisely for worthwhile goals and activities, including the following. Number 1. Assessments. The objective of seminaries and institutes of religion is to, quote, help youth and young adults understand and rely on the teachings and atonement of Jesus Christ, qualify for the blessings of the temple, and prepare themselves, their families, and others for eternal life with their Father in heaven, end quote. With this objective in mind, S&I has prepared learning assessments. These assessments are intended to help students understand, explain, believe, and live what they are learning in class. In 2014, requirements for seminary graduation were adjusted so that students must pass the learning assessment for each course of study in order to graduate. You should administer learning assessments once during each half of the school year. Each assessment has two parts. Number 1, administering the assessment, which will take approximately 40 minutes, or one daily class period. And number 2, correcting and discussing the assessment with students the following class period. This review is an essential part of helping students learn from their experience. If your class meets for longer than 60 minutes, you should take one class period to administer and review the assessment. Assessments are to be used to help students. While announcing the addition of learning assessments to seminary graduation requirements, Elder Paul V. Johnson of the 70 said, quote, a teacher's attitude is going to make a big difference. If the teachers can see how this blesses the lives of students, they'll view assessments as a way to help their students. I think if there were a caution, it would be that we don't want the teachers to view this as some sort of a manipulation device or a club. Maybe a club in two meanings of the word. A blunt instrument to beat somebody with, or some elite club for only certain students. We want them to view this as something that will really bless their lives. End quote. Note, other optional assessments may be found by searching the S&I website, si.lds.org, using the keyword assessment. Number 2. Adapting the daily lessons. You may want to spend extra time on a lesson that takes longer to teach effectively. You may also want to use the supplemental teaching ideas that appear at the end of some lessons, or take time to answer students' questions about a particular scripture passage or gospel topic. Flexible days allow you to take advantage of these opportunities while maintaining your pacing schedule and fulfilling your commission to teach the Scriptures sequentially. Number 3. Mastering key Scripture passages and basic doctrines. You may want to use the review activities for Scripture mastery passages that are found throughout the manual and in the appendix. You could create additional Scripture mastery review activities that meet the specific needs and interests of the students in your class. You could also use part of a flexible day for activities that help students review and deepen their understanding of the basic doctrines. Number 4. Reviewing previous material. It is helpful for students to periodically look back at what they have learned in previous lessons or from a particular book of Scripture. You could provide students with an opportunity to explain a truth from a previous lesson and share how that truth has influenced their lives. You could also create and administer a quiz or learning activities that review previous material. Number 5. Allowing for schedule interruptions. School activities or assemblies, community events, weather, and other interruptions may require you to cancel or shorten class periodically. Flexible days can be used to allow for such interruptions. Pacing Guide for Home Study Teachers. This manual contains 32 home study lessons that correspond to the 32 units in the New Testament Study Guide for Home Study Seminary Students. You will likely need to plan for an additional 4 classes in order to administer and review the required learning assessments, for a total of 36 classes. You may adapt the lessons and pacing as needed for the number of weeks you have to teach your class. Please refer to the charts on page 571 and 572 of the appendix. Introduction to Scripture Mastery. Seminaries and Institutes of Religion has selected 25 Scripture Mastery passages for each of the 4 seminary courses. These passages provide an important scriptural foundation for understanding and sharing the gospel and for strengthening faith. The Scripture Mastery passages for the New Testament course are as follows: Matthew 5, 14 through 16, Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Matthew 16, 15 through 19, Matthew 22, 36 through 39, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Luke 24, 36 through 39, John 3, 5, John 14, 6, John 14, 15, John 17, 3, Acts 2, 36 through 38, Acts 3, 19 through 21, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 22, 1 Corinthians 15, 40 through 42, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, Ephesians 4, 11 through 14, Philippians 4, 13, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 3, 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17, Hebrews 12, 9, James 1, 5 and 6, James 2, 17 and 18, 1 Peter 4, verse 6, and Revelation 20, verse 12. Seminary students are encouraged to develop a mastery of these passages. You will be better able to help your students if you master these passages as well. Mastery of Scripture passages includes the following: locating the verses by knowing the associated Scripture references, understanding the context and content of the Scripture passages, applying the gospel principles and doctrines taught in the Scripture passages, and memorizing the passages. Consistency, expectations, and methods. As you plan to help students master Scripture passages, you will be more successful if you refer to Scripture mastery passages with consistency, maintain appropriate expectations, and use methods that appeal to different learning styles. Consistency and repetition in teaching Scripture mastery will help students place truths in their long-term memories for future use. It may be helpful to outline the course of study for the year and create a plan to consistently provide opportunities in the classroom for students to master Scripture passages. Be wise in determining how often and how much time to spend helping students learn the Scripture mastery passages. Ensure that Scripture mastery activities do not overshadow daily sequential study of the Scriptures. You could decide to spend a few minutes each day reviewing Scripture mastery passages with your students. Or you might decide to provide a short mastery activity once or twice a week for 10 to 15 minutes. No matter how you plan to help students learn Scripture mastery passages, be consistent and appropriate in your efforts. Base your expectations for Scripture mastery on each student's abilities. Mastering Scripture passages takes effort on the part of the learner. Communicate to students that their success with Scripture mastery depends largely on their attitude and their willingness to work. Encourage them to set goals that push their abilities to higher levels. Be sensitive to students who may have difficulty memorizing, and be willing to adapt your expectations and teaching methods according to the needs of your students. To appeal to a wider range of personality and learning styles, vary the methods you use to help students master Scripture passages. As in all gospel teaching and learning, Be wise in your choice of activities so that the Holy Ghost can support students' scriptural and doctrinal mastery. You will find a number of appropriate scripture mastery teaching methods in the lessons in this manual. For additional scripture mastery teaching methods, see the section called Scripture Mastery Activities in this appendix. Scripture Mastery in the Curriculum. Scripture mastery is written into the curriculum in a number of ways. A scripture mastery icon, which appears as a tiny open book, identifies the treatment of scripture mastery passages in the lesson material. Scripture mastery passages are introduced and discussed in the context of the chapter where they are located. Additional teaching ideas for scripture mastery passages appear at the end of the lessons in which they are located. These additional teaching ideas help balance the four elements of scripture mastery: locating, understanding, applying, and memorizing. With regard to each passage, for example, if the lesson helps students to understand and apply a scripture mastery passage, then the additional teaching idea will help them with locating or memorizing the passage. The curriculum also regularly provides scripture mastery review activities that can be used as time allows and in harmony with the scripture mastery goals of your class. These reviews can be supplemented with the scripture mastery activities listed in this appendix. You might use extra time at the beginning or end of a shorter lesson to do one of these review activities. Suggested approaches for scripture mastery. To aid students with locating skills, you could plan to introduce the 25 mastery passages near the beginning of the course, and then work on deepening mastery throughout the course. Or you could introduce a few passages each month and focus on mastering those passages during that month. Such introductions could include suggesting that students mark scripture mastery passages in their individual copies of the scriptures, helping students think of ways to remember keywords and references, and explaining doctrines and principles contained in each passage. You could also involve students in introducing scripture mastery passages by assigning them to use passages in their devotionals, or by inviting them to teach each other how to remember and locate the passages. Provide accountability for remembering scripture mastery passages with periodic quizzes and locating activities. See the scripture mastery activities in this appendix for examples. A list of the 25 scripture mastery passages for this course of study can be found on the student bookmarks and scripture mastery cards. To assist students in their understanding of scripture mastery passages, emphasize these passages as they come up in your daily lessons. You might also use the scripture mastery activities in this appendix to increase students' knowledge of and ability to explain the truths contained in the passages. Give students opportunities in devotionals or during class to explain how the truths in scripture mastery passages help them better understand the basic doctrines. To support students in their application of truths found in scripture mastery passages, encourage them to follow the promptings of the Holy Ghost to understand how the truths in the passages apply in their lives. To help students act on the truths they learn, you could occasionally post on a bulletin board in class a challenge related to a scripture mastery passage. Or you could give students opportunities in class to practice teaching doctrines and principles of the gospel using the scripture mastery passages. See the scripture mastery activities in this appendix for ideas. You might also invite students to apply the principles they learn in the lessons where scripture mastery passages appear. Provide students with opportunities, in devotionals or at other times, to report their experiences. This will help them to increase their witness of the truths they have learned from the scripture mastery passages. To help students memorize the 25 scripture mastery passages, you could plan to commit to memory 2 or 3 passages each month in class. You could also challenge students to memorize certain passages at home. They could do this with their families or recite passages to a parent or family member. You could make memorization a part of daily devotionals by asking the class to recite a passage or by providing time for students to memorize in pairs. Giving students opportunities to recite Scripture Mastery passages in pairs or small groups, or in front of the class, can help them be accountable for their efforts. The Scripture Mastery activities in this appendix include a variety of memorization methods. Take care to tailor memorization expectations to each student's abilities and circumstances. Students should not be made to feel embarrassed or overwhelmed if they are unable to memorize a scripture passage. Scripture Mastery Activities. Introduction. This section provides some ideas you can use to assist students in mastering key scripture passages. As you assist and encourage students to develop these skills, you are helping them to become self-reliant in their study of the scriptures. Students can use these mastery skills throughout their lives to better locate, understand, apply, and memorize passages in the scriptures. Teaching ideas for each element of scripture mastery are listed below. Using a variety of these types of activities can help students to more successfully master scripture passages. Activities that help students locate scripture mastery passages. Marking passages. Marking scripture mastery passages can help students remember these passages and locate them more quickly. Consider encouraging students to mark these key passages in their scriptures in a way that sets them apart from other passages they mark. Knowing the books. Memorizing the names and order of the books in the New Testament can help students locate scripture mastery passages more quickly. The following are some examples of activities that can help students become familiar with the books in the New Testament. Find the table of contents. Help students become familiar with the table of contents in the Bible to help them locate the books in which scripture mastery references are found. Sing a song. Substitute the words of a familiar hymn or primary song with the names of the books of the New Testament. Teach the song to your students, or use the song "The Books in the New Testament" from the Children's Songbook, pages 116 through 117. Have students sing this song periodically throughout the year to help them remember the names and order of the books in the New Testament. Use first letters. Write the first letter of the books on the board, M, M, L, J, and so on. Have students practice saying the names of the books that correspond with each letter. Repeat this activity until they can recite names of the books from memory. Book chase. Call out one of the books in which a scripture mastery passage is located and have students open their scriptures to any page in that book. Time how long it takes the entire class to find each of the books. This activity could be repeated to allow students to become more proficient at remembering and finding the books in the New Testament. Remembering references and content. As students learn the location and content of scripture mastery passages, the Holy Ghost can help them recall scripture references as needed. Keywords or phrases such as "born of water and of the Spirit" in John 3:5 and "the fruit of the Spirit" from Galatians 5:22 and 23 can help students remember the content and doctrinal teachings of each passage. The following methods can help students associate scripture mastery references with their content or keywords. You may want to save activities that involve competition, racing, or being timed for later in the year, after students have demonstrated that they know where the scripture mastery passages are located. Such activities will then help reinforce what they have learned. References and keywords. Encourage students to memorize the references and keywords of each scripture mastery passage listed on the scripture mastery cards. Scripture Mastery cards can be ordered online at store.lds.org. You could also have students create their own set of Scripture Mastery cards. Give students time to study the cards with a partner and then quiz each other. Encourage students to be creative in the ways they study together and quiz each other. As they become more proficient with the Scripture Mastery passages, you might invite them to use clues that involve context or application of doctrines and principles from the passages. The person being quizzed could respond verbally or in writing. Scripture Mastery cards. This activity could be used to introduce or review a set of Scripture Mastery passages. Select a number of the Scripture Mastery cards and prepare to distribute them among your students. Be sure to have multiple copies of each card so more than one student receives the same Scripture Mastery passage. You may want to have enough cards for each student to have two or three different passages. Pass them out to the class. Allow students time to study the Scripture Mastery passage, the reference, the keywords, the context statement, the doctrine or principle, and the application ideas on each card. Call out some clues from the cards, for example, words from the Scripture Mastery passage or the keywords, context, doctrine or principle, or application. Students who have the associated card should stand and say the Scripture Mastery reference aloud. Scripture Chase. Use clues to help students practice quickly locating passages in their scriptures. For clues, you could use keywords, context statements, doctrines and principles, and application ideas from the Scripture Mastery cards. You could also make up your own clues. Scripture Chase activities in which students race to locate passages can help them actively engage in learning Scripture Mastery passages. When using Scripture Chase activities to help with Scripture Mastery, do it in a way that does not cause hurt feelings or offend the Spirit. Help students avoid treating their scriptures irreverently or being overly competitive. Also consider having students compete against a standard rather than each other. For example, students could race against the teacher, or you could have them race to see if a certain percentage of the class can find a particular passage in a specified amount of time. Story Chase. Give clues by making up scenarios that demonstrate the relevance of Scripture Mastery passages to everyday life. For example, as a clue for Matthew 28:19-20, or Philippians 4:13, you could say, quote, Daniel is eligible to serve a mission and feels like it is his priesthood duty to do so, but he is worried that he does not have enough knowledge to teach the gospel well. He also worries that it will be difficult for him to talk to strangers. As he prays for assurance, he remembers that after Jesus Christ was resurrected, he charged his apostles to go and teach all nations, and that the Lord said he would be with them always. Daniel also thought of Paul's words, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. End quote. As students listen to the scenarios, have them locate relevant Scripture Mastery passages in their scriptures. Quizzes and tests. Provide students with opportunities to test their memory of Scripture Mastery passages. Clues could include keywords or scripture references, quotations from passages, or scenarios that illustrate the truths taught in passages. Quizzes and tests could be given verbally, on the board, or on paper. After students have taken a quiz or test, consider pairing high-scoring students with students who have lower scores. The higher-scoring student could act as a teacher to help the student with the lower score study and improve. As part of this effort, the pair could also set a goal to achieve a higher combined score on the next test. Consider creating a chart or bulletin board to display students' goals and recognize their progress. Activities that help students understand Scripture Mastery passages. Defining words and phrases. Defining words and phrases in Scripture Mastery passages, or helping students to define them, will help students understand the meaning of the entire passage. When such definitions are critical to understanding the doctrine and principles in a passage, you may want to encourage students to write these definitions in their scriptures. Review meanings of words and phrases as you review Scripture Mastery passages. Identifying context. Identifying the context of a scripture passage can help students better understand the meaning of the passage. Context includes information concerning who is speaking to whom and why, the setting of the passage, historical, cultural, and geographical, and the question or situation from which the content of the scripture passage arose. For example, the Lord's teachings in John 3:5 are part of a conversation between Jesus Christ and a sympathetic Pharisee named Nicodemus, who had come to the Savior by night to ask about his doctrine. The Lord told Nicodemus that unless we are born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God. See John 3:3. Confused, Nicodemus asked how an old man could be born again. John 3:5 contains the Lord's answer to Nicodemus's question. Knowing this information can help students understand more clearly what questions the Lord was addressing when he declared that, quote, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God," end quote. As you teach lessons that include Scripture Mastery passages, emphasize the context surrounding those passages. Additional activities like the following can also help students understand key passages. Identify context. Write the following headings across the top of the board: speaker, audience, purpose, and other helpful insights. Divide students into groups and assign each group a Scripture Mastery passage. Invite them to discover the context of their assigned passages by identifying information that corresponds to the headings on the board. Have them write their findings on the board. Then ask each group to explain the context of their assigned passages and how this information affects their understanding of the truths in each passage. To add another dimension to this activity, you might want to challenge the class to guess the Scripture Mastery references based on the descriptions on the board before each group explains what they have written. Analyzing. Analyzing involves identifying doctrines and principles found in Scripture passages. It also includes helping students understand how these truths are relevant to them. This can lead to deeper application of doctrines and principles in their lives. The following activity can help students analyze Scripture Mastery passages. Write clues. As students become more familiar with Scripture Mastery passages, invite them to create questions, scenarios, or other clues that illustrate the doctrines and principles taught in the passages. These could be used to quiz the class. Explaining. Having students explain Scripture passages deepens their understanding and improves their ability to teach doctrines and principles from the Scriptures. The following are two methods that can help students learn to explain Scripture Mastery passages. Keywords and phrases. Invite students to read the same Scripture Mastery passage on their own and identify a word or phrase they think is especially important to the meaning of the passage. Then invite a student to read the passage to the class and give emphasis to the word or phrase he or she has chosen. Ask the student to explain why that word or phrase is important to understanding the passage. Invite a few other students to do the same. Students may choose different words or phrases for the same passage. As class members hear these different points of view, they can gain deeper understanding of the passage. Prepare a devotional. Give students opportunities to use Scripture Mastery passages as they prepare and present devotionals at the beginning of class. Help them prepare to summarize context, explain doctrines and principles, share meaningful experiences or examples, and testify of the doctrines and principles in the passages. You might also suggest that students consider using an object lesson to explain the ideas in the passages. Feeling the importance of doctrines and principles. Help students understand and gain a spiritual witness of the doctrines and principles taught in the Scripture Mastery passages. Elder Robert D. Hales of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles explained, quote, "A true teacher, once he or she has taught the facts of the gospel, takes the students a step further to gain the spiritual witness and the understanding in their hearts that brings about the action and the doing." End quote. When students feel the truth, importance, and urgency of a doctrine or principle through the influence of the Holy Spirit, their desire to apply that truth in their lives grows. Teachers can help students invite and nurture these feelings of the Holy Spirit by giving them opportunities to share experiences they have had with living the gospel principles found in Scripture Mastery passages. This will help students better understand the truths taught in the Scripture Mastery passages and ensure that these truths are written in the students' hearts. The following activity can help students feel the importance of the doctrines and principles taught by Scripture Mastery passages. Listening for Scripture passages. Invite students to listen for Scripture Mastery passages in talks and lessons at church, in general conference addresses, and in discussions with family and friends. Periodically invite students to report on which passages they have heard, how the passages were used, what truths were taught, and what experiences they or others have had with the truths that were taught. Look for opportunities to testify and to invite students to testify of the truths taught by Scripture Mastery passages. Activities that help students apply Scripture Mastery passages. Teaching. The Scripture Mastery passages and the basic doctrines were developed together and are intentionally aligned for the benefit of students. Scripture Mastery passages are shown throughout the basic doctrines document. When students learn and express the doctrines and principles contained in Scripture Mastery passages, they will also be learning and expressing the basic doctrines. And as students learn to express the basic doctrines in their own words, they may rely on memorized Scripture Mastery passages to help them. Giving students opportunities to teach doctrines and principles of the gospel using Scripture Mastery passages can increase their confidence in themselves and in their knowledge of the Scriptures. When students teach and testify of the doctrines and principles found in Scripture Mastery passages, they can also strengthen their testimonies. Encourage students to use Scripture Mastery passages to teach and explain the gospel in class and in conversation with friends, family, and others. Present a message. Assign students to prepare 3 to 5 minute talks or lessons based on Scripture Mastery passages. Have them prepare in class or at home. In addition to the Scripture Mastery passages, they could use other resources to help them prepare, such as Scripture Mastery cards, the topical guide, the guide to the Scriptures, or True to the Faith, a gospel reference. Each talk or lesson should include an introduction, the Scripture Mastery passage, a story about or an example of the principle being taught, and the student's testimony. Students could volunteer to present their messages in class, in a family home evening, or in their quorums or classes as part of their duty to God or personal progress efforts. If students present their talks or lessons outside of class, consider inviting them to report on their experiences. Missionary role play. Prepare a number of cards with questions an investigator might ask that can be answered with the help of Scripture Mastery passages. For example, what do members of your church believe about Jesus Christ? Invite pairs of students to come to the front of the class to answer a question chosen from the cards. To help students understand how missionaries might answer similar questions, you could suggest a few effective teaching methods, such as, 1, stating the context of the Scripture passage, 2, explaining a doctrine or principle, 3, asking questions to find out if those they teach understand or believe what has been taught, 4, sharing experiences and testimony, and 5, inviting those they teach to act on the truth that was taught. Ask the class to give feedback on what they liked about how each companionship answered their question. Testify. Invite students to look through the Scripture Mastery passages and choose one that contains a doctrine or principle of which they can testify. Invite them to testify of the truth they have selected and share experiences that led them to be able to testify of it. As students share their testimonies, the Holy Ghost will confirm the truth of the doctrines or principles of which they are testifying. Their testimonies may also inspire others to act in faith. Note: opportunities for students to share their testimonies should be voluntary. Students should never be forced to share their testimonies or be made to feel that they must profess knowledge they don't feel they have. In addition, some students are reluctant to share their testimonies because they mistakenly think that they need to open with, "I want to bear my testimony," or that their expression of testimony must be accompanied by a display of emotion. Help students understand that when they testify, they can simply share doctrines or principles they know to be true. Sharing testimony can be as simple as saying, "I believe this to be true," or "I know this is true," or "I believe this with all my heart." Living. suggesting ways that students may apply the doctrines and principles contained in Scripture Mastery passages, or inviting students to think of ways, gives them the opportunity to learn by exercising faith. Elder David A. Bednar of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles said, quote, "A learner exercising agency by acting in accordance with correct principles opens his or her heart to the Holy Ghost and invites his teaching, testifying power, and confirming witness. Learning by faith requires spiritual, mental, and physical exertion, and not just passive reception. It is in the sincerity and consistency of our faith-inspired action that we indicate to our Heavenly Father and His Son Jesus Christ our willingness to learn and receive instruction from the Holy Ghost." End quote. From Seek Learning by Faith, Ensign, September 2007. Give students opportunities to share and testify of the experiences they have had with applying doctrines and principles. The following is one way to encourage students to apply Scripture Mastery passages in their lives. Set goals. Based on the application section of the Scripture Mastery cards, invite students to set specific goals to better live the principles found in Scripture Mastery passages. Have them write their goals on a piece of paper to carry with them as a reminder. When appropriate, invite students to report on their successes. Activities that help students memorize Scripture Mastery passages. Memorizing. Memorization of Scripture passages can deepen understanding and enhance a student's ability to teach the gospel. When students memorize Scriptures, the Holy Ghost can bring phrases and ideas back to their memory in times of need. Remember to adapt memorization activities to the abilities of your students. Elder Richard G. Scott of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles encouraged the memorization of Scriptures when he said, quote, "Great power can come from memorizing Scriptures. To memorize a Scripture is to forge a new friendship. It is like discovering a new individual who can help in time of need, give inspiration and comfort, and be a source of motivation for needed change." End quote. From The Power of Scripture, Ensign Orleahona, November 2011. Each of the following activities could be repeated several days in a row at the beginning or end of class to help students achieve long-term memorization. One-word race. Challenge the class to say a Scripture Mastery passage one word per student at a time. For example, when helping students memorize Matthew 5:14-16, the first student would say the word ye. The second student would say, are. The third student would say, the, and so forth, until the entire passage is completed. Time the class and give them multiple tries to achieve a target time. As you repeat this activity, consider shifting the order of students so they have to say different words. First letters. Write on the board the first letters of each word in a Scripture Mastery passage. Point to the letters as the class repeats the passage with you, using their scriptures as needed. Repeat this activity until students feel confident in their ability to recite a passage with only the help of the first letters. You may want to erase a few of the letters each time students recite the passage. This will gradually increase the challenge until students can repeat the passage without using the first letters. Word strip puzzles. Write or have students write the words of the Scripture Mastery passage on a lined piece of paper. Cut the paper in strips, leaving lines of the Scripture intact. Cut some of the strips shorter to include just a few words of the passage on each. Mix up the paper strips and give them to pairs or small groups of students. Challenge students to arrange the paper strips in order using their scriptures as a guide. Have them practice until they no longer need to use their scriptures. After they have finished, ask them to recite the passage aloud. You could also time students to see which group can put the strips in the correct order the fastest. Or you could time the entire class to see how long it takes for all of the groups to complete the puzzle. As the first groups finish, let them assist the slower groups. Introduction to Basic Doctrines. The following basic doctrines should be highlighted in seminary: Godhead, plan of salvation, atonement of Jesus Christ, dispensation, apostasy, and restoration, Prophets and Revelation, Priesthood and Priesthood Keys, Ordinances and Covenants, Marriage and Family, Commandments. Teachers are to help students identify, understand, believe, explain, and apply these basic doctrines of the gospel as they study the scriptures. Doing so will help students strengthen their testimonies and increase their appreciation of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. Learning the basic doctrines will also help students be better prepared to live the gospel and teach these important truths to others. The lessons in this manual were created with the basic doctrines in mind. It is important to recognize that other significant doctrines of the gospel will also be emphasized in this manual, even though they are not listed among the basic doctrines. The teaching of basic doctrines of the gospel occurs as you study the scriptures daily with students and as you help them master key scripture passages. Growth in understanding, believing, and living basic doctrines is a process that occurs over the 4 years of seminary and continues for the rest of a student's life. You may want to provide students with a list of the basic doctrines. Basic Doctrines Assessment. A basic doctrines assessment has been designed to provide teachers with information they can use to better bless the lives of their students. We recommend that teachers administer this assessment during the first week of class and again towards the end of the year. To find the basic doctrines assessment and other assessments on the SNI website or si.lds.org, search using the keyword assessment. Teachers who send their students' assessment results to the SNI Office of Research will receive a report that will help them adapt their teaching to better meet the needs of their students. For example, if results indicate that students did not understand the doctrine of repentance, several lessons in the yearly curriculum would be identified that may help students better understand this doctrine. As teachers prayerfully use this information in their sequential scripture teaching, our youth and young adults will be better prepared to accomplish the objective of seminaries and institutes of religion. Basic Doctrines. The basic doctrines should be highlighted in both seminary and institute classes. Teachers are to help students identify, understand, believe, explain, and apply these doctrines of the gospel. Doing so will help students strengthen their testimonies and increase their appreciation for the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. A study of these doctrines will also help students be better prepared to teach these important truths to others. Most of the 100 Scripture Mastery passages selected by seminaries and institutes of religion were chosen to support students' understanding of the basic doctrines. The majority of the scripture references listed in this document refer to Scripture Mastery passages. They have been included to show how they relate to the basic doctrines. Number 1. Godhead. There are three separate personages in the Godhead: God the Eternal Father, His Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. The Father and the Son have tangible bodies of flesh and bone, and the Holy Ghost is a personage of spirit. They are one in purpose and doctrine. They are perfectly united in bringing to pass Heavenly Father's divine plan of salvation. God the Father. God the Father is the supreme ruler of the universe. He is the Father of our spirits. He is perfect, has all power, and knows all things. He is also a God of perfect mercy, kindness, and charity. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the Father in the Spirit, and is the only begotten of the Father in the flesh. He is Jehovah of the Old Testament and the Messiah of the New Testament. Jesus Christ lived a sinless life and made a perfect atonement for the sins of all mankind. His life is the perfect example of how all mankind should live. He was the first person on this earth to be resurrected. He will come again in power and glory and will reign on the earth during the millennium. All prayers, blessings, and priesthood ordinances should be done in the name of Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the third member of the Godhead. He is a personage of spirit without a body of flesh and bones. He is often referred to as the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, and the Comforter. The Holy Ghost bears witness of the Father and the Son, reveals the truth of all things, and sanctifies those who repent and are baptized. Number 2. Plan of Salvation. In the premortal existence, Heavenly Father introduced a plan to enable us to become like Him and obtain immortality and eternal life. The Scriptures refer to this plan as the plan of salvation, the great plan of happiness, the plan of redemption, and the plan of mercy. The plan of salvation includes the creation, the fall, the atonement of Jesus Christ, and all of the laws, ordinances, and doctrines of the gospel. Moral agency, the ability to choose and act for ourselves, is also essential in Heavenly Father's plan. Because of this plan, we can be perfected through the atonement, receive a fullness of joy, and live forever in the presence of God. Our family relationships can last throughout the eternities. Premortal life. Before we were born on the earth, we lived in the presence of our Heavenly Father as His spirit children. In this premortal existence, we participated in a council with Heavenly Father's other spirit children. During that council, Heavenly Father presented His plan and the premortal Jesus Christ covenanted to be the Savior. We used our agency to follow Heavenly Father's plan. We prepared to come to earth where we could continue to progress. Those who followed Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ were permitted to come to the earth to experience mortality and progress toward eternal life. Lucifer, another spirit son of God, rebelled against the plan. He became Satan, and he and his followers were cast out of heaven and denied the privileges of receiving a physical body and experiencing mortality. The creation. Jesus Christ created the heavens and the earth under the direction of the Father. The earth was not created from nothing. It was organized from existing matter. Jesus Christ has created worlds without number. The creation of the earth was essential to God's plan. It provided a place where we could gain a physical body, be tested and tried, and develop divine attributes. We are to use the earth's resources with wisdom, judgment, and thanksgiving. Adam was the first man created on the earth. God created Adam and Eve in His own image. All human beings, male and female, are created in the image of God. The Fall. In the Garden of Eden, God commanded Adam and Eve not to partake of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The consequence of doing so would be spiritual and physical death. Spiritual death is separation from God. Physical death is the separation of the spirit from the mortal body. Because Adam and Eve transgressed God's command, they were cast out from His presence and became mortal. Adam and Eve's transgression and the resultant changes they experienced, including physical and spiritual death, are called the fall. As a result of the fall, Adam and Eve and their posterity could experience joy and sorrow, know good and evil, and have children. As descendants of Adam and Eve, we inherit a fallen condition during mortality. We are separated from the presence of the Lord and subject to physical death. We are also tested by the difficulties of life and the temptations of the adversary. The fall is an integral part of Heavenly Father's plan of salvation. It has a twofold direction, downward yet forward. In addition to introducing physical and spiritual death, it gave us the opportunity to be born on the earth and to learn and to progress. Mortal life. Mortal life is a time of learning when we can prepare for eternal life and prove that we will use our agency to do all that the Lord has commanded. During this mortal life, we are to love and serve others. In mortality, our spirits are united with our physical bodies, giving us opportunities to grow and develop in ways that were not possible in the premortal life. Our bodies are an important part of the plan of salvation and should be respected as a gift from our Heavenly Father. Life after death. When we die, our spirits enter the spirit world and await the resurrection. The spirits of the righteous are received into a state of happiness, which is called paradise. many of the faithful will preach the gospel to those in spirit prison. Spirit prison is a temporary place in the post-mortal world for those who die without knowledge of the truth, and for those who are disobedient in mortality. There, spirits are taught the gospel and have the opportunity to repent and accept ordinances of salvation that are performed for them in temples. Those who accept the gospel will dwell in paradise until the resurrection. Resurrection is the reuniting of our spirit bodies with our perfected physical bodies of flesh and bones. After resurrection, the spirit and body will never again be separated, and we will be immortal. Every person born on earth will be resurrected because Jesus Christ overcame death. The righteous will be resurrected before the wicked and will come forth in the first resurrection. The final judgment will occur after the resurrection. Jesus Christ will judge each person to determine the eternal glory that he or she will receive. This judgment will be based on each person's obedience to God's commands. There are three kingdoms of glory. The highest of these is the celestial kingdom. Those who are valiant in the testimony of Jesus and obedient to the principles of the gospel will dwell in the celestial kingdom in the presence of God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. The second of the three kingdoms of glory is the terrestrial kingdom. Those who dwell in this kingdom will be the honorable men and women of the earth who were not valiant in the testimony of Jesus. The celestial kingdom is the lowest of the three kingdoms of glory. Those who inherit this kingdom will be those who chose wickedness rather than righteousness during their mortal lives. These individuals will receive their glory after being redeemed from spirit prison. Number 3. Atonement of Jesus Christ. To atone is to suffer the penalty for sin, thereby removing the effects of sin from the repentant sinner and allowing him or her to be reconciled to God. Jesus Christ was the only one capable of making a perfect atonement for all mankind. His atonement included his suffering for the sins of mankind in the Garden of Gethsemane, the shedding of his blood, his suffering and death on the cross, and his resurrection from the tomb. The Savior was able to carry out the atonement because he kept himself free of sin and had power over death. From his mortal mother, he inherited the ability to die. From his immortal father, he inherited the power to take up his life again. Through grace, made available by the Savior's atoning sacrifice, all people will be resurrected and receive immortality. The atonement of Jesus Christ also makes it possible for us to receive eternal life. To receive this gift, we must live the gospel of Jesus Christ, which includes having faith in Him, repenting of our sins, being baptized, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, and enduring faithfully to the end. As part of His atonement, Jesus Christ not only suffered for our sins, but also took upon Himself the pains, sicknesses, and infirmities of all people. He understands our suffering because He has experienced it. His grace, or enabling power, strengthens us to bear burdens and accomplish tasks that we could not do on our own. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is a hope for things which are not seen, which are true. It is a gift from God. Faith must be centered in Jesus Christ in order for it to lead a person to salvation. Having faith in Jesus Christ means relying completely on Him and trusting in His infinite atonement, power, and love. It includes believing His teachings and believing that even though we do not understand all things, He does. More than passive belief, faith is expressed by the way we live. Faith can increase as we pray, study the Scriptures, and obey God's commandments. Latter-day Saints also have faith in God the Father, the Holy Ghost, and priesthood power, as well as other important aspects of the restored gospel. Faith helps us receive spiritual and physical healing and strength to press forward, face our hardships, and overcome temptation. The Lord will work mighty miracles in our lives according to our faith. Through faith in Jesus Christ, a person may obtain a remission of sins and eventually be able to dwell in God's presence. Repentance. Repentance is a change of mind and heart that gives us a fresh view about God, about ourselves, and about the world. It includes turning away from sin and turning to God for forgiveness. It is motivated by love for God and the sincere desire to obey His commandments. Our sins make us unclean, unworthy to return to and dwell in the presence of our Heavenly Father. Through the atonement of Jesus Christ, our Father in heaven has provided the only way for us to be forgiven of our sins. Repentance also includes feeling sorrow for committing sin, confessing to Heavenly Father and to others if necessary, forsaking sin, seeking to restore as far as possible all that has been damaged by one's sins, and living a life of obedience to God's commandments. Number 4. Dispensation, apostasy, and restoration. Dispensation. A dispensation is a period of time when the Lord reveals His doctrines, ordinances, and priesthood. It is a period in which the Lord has at least one authorized servant on the earth who bears the holy priesthood, and who has a divine commission to dispense the gospel and to administer the ordinances thereof. Today we are living in the last dispensation, the dispensation of the fullness of times, which began with the revelation of the gospel to Joseph Smith. Previous dispensations are identified with Adam, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus Christ. In addition, there have been other dispensations, including those among the Nephites and the Jaredites. The plan of salvation and the gospel of Jesus Christ have been revealed and taught in every dispensation. Apostasy. When people turn away from the principles of the gospel and do not have priesthood keys, they are in a state of apostasy. Periods of general apostasy have occurred throughout the history of the world. One example is the Great Apostasy, which occurred after the Savior established His church. Following the deaths of the Savior's apostles, the principles of the gospel were corrupted, and unauthorized changes were made in church organization and priesthood ordinances. Because of this widespread wickedness, the Lord withdrew the authority and keys of the priesthood from the earth. During the Great Apostasy, people were without divine direction from living prophets. Many churches were established, but they did not have the authority to confer the gift of the Holy Ghost or perform other priesthood ordinances. Parts of the Holy Scriptures were corrupted or lost, and the people no longer had an accurate understanding of God. This apostasy lasted until Heavenly Father and His beloved Son appeared to Joseph Smith and initiated the restoration of the fullness of the gospel. Restoration. The restoration is God's re-establishment of the truths and ordinances of His gospel among His children on the earth. In preparation for the restoration, the Lord raised up noble men during what is called the Reformation. They attempted to return religious doctrine, practices, and organization to the way the Savior had established them. They did not, however, have the priesthood or the fullness of the gospel. The restoration began in 1820, when God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ appeared to Joseph Smith in response to his prayer. Some of the key events of the restoration were the translation of the Book of Mormon, the restoration of the Aaronic and Melchizedek priesthoods, and the organization of the church on April 6, 1830. The Aaronic priesthood was restored to Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery by John the Baptist on May 15, 1829. The Melchizedek priesthood and the keys of the kingdom were restored in 1829 when the apostles Peter, James, and John conferred them upon Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery. The fullness of the gospel has been restored, and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is, quote, the only true and living church upon the face of the whole earth, end quote, from Doctrine and Covenants, section 1, verse 30. The church will eventually fill the whole earth and stand forever. Number 5. Prophets and Revelation. A prophet is a person who has been called by God to speak for Him. Prophets testify of Jesus Christ and teach His gospel. They make known God's will and true character. They denounce sin and warn of its consequences. At times, they prophesy of future events. Many teachings of prophets are found in the Scriptures. As we study the words of prophets, we can learn truth and receive guidance. We sustain the President of the Church as a prophet, seer, and revelator, and the only person on earth who receives revelation to guide the entire Church. We also sustain the counselors in the First Presidency and the members of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles as prophets, seers, and revelators. Revelation is communication from God to His children. When the Lord reveals His will to the Church, He speaks through His prophet. The Scriptures, the Bible, Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, and Pearl of Great Price, contain revelations given through ancient and Latter-day prophets. The President of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is God's prophet on the earth today. Individuals can receive revelation to help them with their specific needs, responsibilities, and questions, and to help strengthen their testimonies. Most revelations to leaders and members of the Church come through impressions and thoughts from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost speaks to our minds and hearts in a still, small voice. Revelation can also come through visions, dreams, and visitations by angels. Number 6. Priesthood and Priesthood Keys. The priesthood is the eternal power and authority of God. Through the priesthood, God created and governs the heavens and the earth. Through this power, He redeems and exalts His children, bringing to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. God gives priesthood authority to worthy male members of the Church so they can act in His name for the salvation of His children. The keys of the priesthood are the rights of presidency, or the power given to man by God to govern and direct the kingdom of God on the earth. Through these keys, priesthood holders can be authorized to preach the gospel and administer the ordinances of salvation. All who serve in the Church are called under the direction of one who holds priesthood keys. Thus, they are entitled to the power needed to serve and fulfill the responsibilities of their callings. Related reference, Doctrine and Covenants 121, verse 36, and verses 41 through 42. Aaronic Priesthood. The Aaronic priesthood is often called the preparatory priesthood. The offices of the Aaronic priesthood are deacon, teacher, priest, and bishop. In the Church today, worthy male members may receive the Aaronic priesthood beginning at age 12. The Aaronic priesthood, quote, holds the keys of the ministering of angels and of the gospel of repentance and of baptism, end quote, from Doctrine and Covenants 13, verse 1. Melchizedek Priesthood. The Melchizedek priesthood is the higher or greater priesthood and administers in spiritual things. This greater priesthood was given to Adam and has been on the earth whenever the Lord has revealed His gospel. It was first called the Holy Priesthood after the order of the Son of God. It later became known as the Melchizedek priesthood, named after a great high priest who lived during the time of the prophet Abraham. Within the Melchizedek priesthood are the offices of elder, high priest, patriarch, 70, and apostle. The president of the Melchizedek priesthood is the president of the Church. Related reference, Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 14. Number 7. Ordinances and Covenants. Ordinances. In the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, an ordinance is a sacred formal act that has spiritual meaning. Each ordinance was designed by God to teach spiritual truths. The ordinances of salvation are performed by the authority of the priesthood and under the direction of those who hold priesthood keys. Some ordinances are essential to exaltation and are called saving ordinances. The first saving ordinance of the gospel is baptism by immersion in water by one having authority. Baptism is necessary for an individual to become a member of the Church and to enter the celestial kingdom. The word baptism comes from a Greek word meaning to dip or immerse. Immersion is symbolic of the death of a person's sinful life and his or her rebirth into a spiritual life, dedicated to the service of God and His children. It is also symbolic of death and resurrection. After a person is baptized, one or more Melchizedek priesthood holders lay their hands on the person's head and confirm him or her a member of the church. As part of this ordinance, called confirmation, the person is given the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost is different from the influence of the Holy Ghost. Before baptism, a person can feel the influence of the Holy Ghost from time to time, and through that influence can receive a testimony of the truth. After receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, a person has the right to his constant companionship if he or she keeps the commandments. Other saving ordinances include ordination to the Melchizedek priesthood, for men, the temple endowment, and the marriage sealing. See Doctrine and Covenants 131, 1-4. All saving ordinances of the priesthood are accompanied by covenants. In the temple, these saving ordinances can also be performed vicariously for the dead. Vicarious ordinances become effective only when the deceased persons accept them in the spirit world and honor the related covenants. Other ordinances, such as administering to the sick and the naming and blessing of children, are also important to our spiritual development. Related reference, Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. Covenants. A covenant is a sacred agreement between God and man. God gives the conditions for the covenant, and we agree to do what He asks us to do. God then promises us certain blessings for our obedience. See Doctrine and Covenants 82, verse 10. All the saving ordinances of the priesthood are accompanied by covenants. We covenant with the Lord at baptism and renew those covenants by partaking of the sacrament. Brethren who receive the Melchizedek priesthood enter into the oath and covenant of the priesthood. We make further covenants in the temple. Related references, Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6, Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4, 2 Nephi 31, verses 19 and 20, and Doctrine and Covenants 25, 13. Marriage and family. Marriage between a man and a woman is ordained of God, and the family is central to His plan of salvation and to our happiness. Happiness in family life is most likely to be achieved when founded upon the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sacred powers of procreation are to be employed only between a man and a woman, lawfully wedded as husband and wife. Parents are to multiply and replenish the earth, rear their children in love and righteousness, and provide for the physical and spiritual needs of their children. Husband and wife have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other. Fathers are to preside over the families in love and righteousness, and provide the necessities of life. Mothers are primarily responsible for the nurture of their children. In these sacred responsibilities, fathers and mothers are obligated to help one another as equal partners. The divine plan of happiness enables family relationships to continue beyond the grave. The earth was created and the gospel was revealed so that families could be formed, sealed, and exalted eternally. Adapted from The Family, A Proclamation to the World, Ensign, November 2010. Related references, Genesis 2:24, Psalm 127, verse 3, Malachi 4, 5 and 6, and Doctrine and Covenants, Section 131, verses 1 through 4. Number 9, Commandments. Commandments are the laws and requirements that God gives to mankind. We manifest our love for Him by keeping His commandments. Keeping the commandments will bring blessings from the Lord. The two most basic commandments are, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. The Ten Commandments are a vital part of the gospel and are eternal principles that are necessary for our exaltation. The Lord revealed them to Moses in ancient times and has restated them in latter-day revelations. Other commandments include praying daily, teaching the gospel to others, keeping the law of chastity, paying a full tithe, fasting, forgiving others, having a spirit of gratitude, and observing the word of wisdom. Related references, Genesis 39:9, Isaiah 58:13-14, 1 Nephi 3:7, Mosiah 4:30, Alma 37:35, Alma 39:9, Doctrine and Covenants 18:15-16, and Doctrine and Covenants 88, verse 124. For more information on these topics, go to LDS.org, Teachings, Gospel Topics, or see True to the Faith, a Gospel reference. Teaching the Gospels as a Harmony. We recommend that you use this manual as it is written and teach the four Gospels sequentially. However, you may choose to teach the New Testament Gospels as a harmony, which means teaching the events of the Savior's life chronologically, combining the material from each Gospel. For information and resources on teaching the Gospels as a harmony, refer to the appendix in the digital versions of this manual on LDS.org and in the Gospel Library for mobile devices.